I'm going to invite my wife up here. You can come up here, babe. As you guys can already see, you guys that are normal attenders, that this is not going to be a normal service. So I recognize a lot of new faces here. So I just want to give you guys a heads up, like this is not the normal service, all right? Because please give us at least a couple more weeks. We teach through the Bible verse by verse. That is what you can expect every week. But we have some family business to discuss today. If you guys don't attend here, if you do, I'm assuming you guys understand this, that we believe that God clearly teaches, like when he saves us, he brings us into his family. And he's our father. Jesus is the head of this family, but we make up all these, the way Paul explains it in 1 Corinthians is like body parts. Like we all have these unique but important roles. And if one of us suffers, the rest of us hurt. And if one of us is doing the role that God's given us, the rest of us benefit from it. So we fully believe that we're a family, and what a family does, just like your immediate family, we do life together. We love each other, and we don't just show up on church and say hi, you know, on Sunday, but we do life together throughout the week. And that means rejoicing with each other when good things are going on and weeping with each other when hard things are going on. And sometimes there's similar, along the lines of what I'm going to share with you guys today, sometimes there's those things that there's cause for rejoicing and weeping. With God, you can get both, because God's promises are always for our good. So even in the hard things, like God's going to be good. We got to remind ourselves of that. That's one of the things we do as a family. We encourage each other in that. And it's important for me to help or to hope to tell you guys right off the bat what I'm going to tell you today. It's probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do at this church for me and my wife. You guys have been our family for the last 17 years, and it's because of your faithfulness and God working through you that we are who we are in Christ today. And my boys that have grown up in this church are who they are. I thought I got this all out of me this morning. I've been weeping and worshiping all morning. We're forever grateful, and we'll love you guys forever because of that. And this dreary gray place called Astoria has truly become our home. The Lord has given us a compassion for this community. And we would be comfortable and content living here forever. But I also recognize in following the Lord that it's typically when you start to feel comfortable and content that the Lord is probably going to do something to make you uncomfortable and relying on him again, because that's not necessarily a good place to stay. In the last couple of months, the Lord has increasingly made it very clear that he is in fact calling our family to another season of life that involves leaving this church family that we love so greatly. A season that in a lot of ways left me feeling very similar to Jonah, in that it doesn't really make a lot of worldly sense to leave a place that is our home, that we have a family we love dearly, that we're a part of, a church that's thriving and flourishing and growing. And it doesn't make any sense to do what he's asking us to do. But it doesn't have to make sense to obey God, because it makes sense to him. He knows the grand plan. And you know, when I made a commitment to give my life to Jesus because he gave his life for me, part of that commitment was, my life's yours, whatever you want. I'm going to do it, whether I understand it or not. And this is one of those opportunities where I have to put that into practice. And going through the book of Jonah, really, it was one of the reasons I went through that book. As a brother reminded me earlier this, a couple weeks ago, every good story has foreshadowing. So we're giving the whole service to this because I really, it's worthy of a long conversation, and it's worthy of starting at the very beginning so you guys can hopefully see God's hand in what we're about to share. So I'm going to start back in 2019. I took over this church as lead pastor in 2017. So a couple years after that, in 2019, me and Marcus were visiting missionaries. We support the Stuarts that came out of this church, were sent out of this church years ago to serve the Lord in France. And we were over there just on a trip to visit and encourage them. And on the way back, we were flying through a connection in Heathrow Airport. And I was sitting there just kind of going through my prayer journal and praying. And I had this strong sense of a burden for London. And I had no idea what that meant because I had no acquaintances there, no ties with any other pastors or anything. The best way I could describe it is I just had a burden to pray for revival there. And I wrote that in my prayer journal. Actually, I think we have a picture of that. I wanted you guys to see that. That was dated February 22nd of 2019. And it was London. The Lord gave me a burden for London. And I heard years later a pastor say that God's call on someone's life often starts with him giving them a burden. And I wrote that next to it, just like this is how it all started, because that's how it started. Just what I thought was a random thing the Lord gave me to pray for, I just continued to pray for it. And fast forward a couple years later, I'll let my wife tell the next part of the story.
Man in England, and her mom was born in England. My mom was born over there in England, and so, anyways, we were kind of just doing this discovery of our family heritage and whatnot. And through that, we found out that she has a half sister over there in England. And it was actually February 16th of 2021. Chris was doing some baptisms with a bunch of the students down at Equola Bible School. And so he and I were driving down there, and I was burdened for this aunt that I have over there. And come find out, she was adopted by an elderly couple, and her husband was adopted by an elderly couple, and the parents had passed away, and then her husband had passed away, and they never had children. And it just was unsettling to me, and I was like, man, Chris, I said, do you think she knows Jesus? Like, she's over there in England all by herself, this aunt of mine. And so that's where it really started. And I was like, I wonder if I could get citizenship. Like, I had to be the Lord, because I don't know why else I would think like that. And so as we're driving down to do the baptisms, I Googled it. I was like, can I get citizenship? And there was a survey to fill out. And so I filled out the survey. And they said, yes, you qualify for citizenship. Like, I'm just in because my mom was born there. It transfers one generation. And so I was like, Chris, I'm like, you know, it says that I can get my citizenship. And an immigration attorney was going to be contacting me. So he was like, how much is it going to cost? And I was like, I think like around $400, $500 for me to get my citizenship. And so he's like, okay, let's do it. So we started that process in 2021. And then it sat on a desk for a couple of years. And then I ended up getting my British citizenship in January of 2023.
Yeah. And there was no ambition in that. Even in that, the way it was right around COVID. So, like, my thinking on it was, well, yeah, if it's only going to cost $400 or $500, we like to travel. We have people to visit. She had family in the UK, and we have missionaries. So I'm like, this will open the door to travel. It'll just make it easier. So you might as well get it. That was the only reason for pursuing it. So fast forward to January of 2023. You get your citizenship. It gets completed. She has to swear allegiance to the king and everything. and we were, it's so funny. We were in this little coffee shop, and she's on like Zoom with like this British person, and she's like repeating after me, like, I swear allegiance to King Charles, and it's super funny. But again, it was like, yay, we got British citizenship. It was kind of a cool thing, you know, but like didn't really know what that was going to, if that was going to amount to anything at all. So the next month, some of you guys remember, we February 2023, we had our annual marriage retreat, and Wayne and Kathy Taylor were the speakers that year. So Wayne has a big, like, footprint in missions over in Europe especially. He planted some of the first Calvary chapels over there. And he was a pastor, if you don't know, of the first Calvary Chapel in Seattle. It's been there for years. Big church. So they've been friends of ours. They like Jane Austen books and all things you British. So we were out to eat with them, and we were just talking with them as friends and explained the British citizenship thing. And they kind of were taken aback and just asked us, what do you think the Lord's going to do with that? Like, that's a huge deal. Like, to have citizenship to another country, it's the reason why most missionaries can't stay, or they end up having to come home. And we were just like, I don't know. We don't have any leading or anything like that. And his wife had mentioned that she had read some missionary newsletter from a missionary that came out of their church before regarding him looking for a pastor or something. She mentioned his name. His name was Rob Dingman from Calvary Chapel, Twickenham. And she said, yeah, you should talk to him. You should reach out to this guy. He's looking for a pastor replacement. And at first, it was kind of intriguing knowing what had happened before. But at the same time, I've just learned that if God is really in something, you don't have to manipulate it to make it happen. And I'd rather not, because I don't want to ever think that I'm the one doing something. I would rather, much rather know that, no, I didn't do this. God did this. Because when you go through the hard things that always come with any season of life, you want to fall back on knowing, I didn't put myself here, God did. And so God's going to be good. He's going to bring me through this, and I'm staying put unless he says differently. So, you know, I was like, all right, we're not going to pursue that. You know, first it was intriguing, but we weren't going to pursue that. So that's February 2023, March 2023. We already had a mission trip planned, me and Sarah, to go visit the Word of Oz. Christina and Sean, who are serving the Lord in Slovenia, missionaries we support too. Many of you guys know them. So we go over on that trip, and part of that trip was we spend a week with them, and on the way home, we were going to spend a week in the UK, have some downtime as a couple, visit her family, and check out a potential Bible school for Samuel. And while we were in Slovenia, I was looking ahead, realized that on that Sunday, I'm like, oh, we're not traveling, so we can go to church. And our typical practices, if we're somewhere on vacation on a Sunday, we're going to go to church, we're going to find the nearest Calvary Chapel. So I'm looking up what the nearest Calvary Chapel is to where we were staying. We were in Windsor, which is outside of London. And the nearest Calvary Chapel is Calvary Chapel Twickenham. And the church basically that was recommended for us to contact the pastor, and I'm like, that's really weird. I'm like, I wonder if, is that a coincidence? Whatever. So we kind of go to our trip in the UK, and we come to that Saturday before that Sunday, and I'm looking it up, trying to Google, like, we didn't have any transportation. We were taking public transportation, so I'm looking up how to get there, and it's rather complicated. And so I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to reach out to Wayne, see if he has the contact information for the pastor there, Pastor Rob, and I'll see if he has an easier way to get there. And secretly, I was hoping he would just offer to come pick us up, because I was like, that would be the easiest and cheapest. But anyways, and there's always a 50-50 chance whether a pastor is even going to answer you when you text him. So I didn't know if I'd get any reply, but no, Wayne got right back to me, gave me his number. I messaged Rob, and surprisingly, he got right back to me. Said his wife looked up directions, and it was going to involve taking trains, buses. It was going to be like an hour and a half. It was just like, in my mind, I'm like, I don't know if we really want to do this. We're on vacation. We're right across from Windsor Castle. St. George's Chapel's there, you know, where the British people get married and all that, the royalty. We'll just go do a service over there. You know, we could walk across the street. So I said, let's just pray about it. We'll wake up in the morning. We'll see if we feel led either way. So I wake up in the morning. I don't really have a leading. It sounds a lot easier to walk across the street than to go through everything to get to this church. So I get in the shower, and my mind's kind of going in that direction. I get out of the shower, and there's this long text from Pastor Rob. And he's like, we are so looking forward to meeting you guys. Can we take you out to lunch afterwards and like, you know, hang out? And I'm just thinking, oh man, I can't disappoint this guy. You know, he's a missionary. Maybe he's like lonely. I've told Sarah, I'm like, you got to get up. We got to go. Like, it's like, we got to get moving and figure out a way to get there. So I looked at Uber and there was a way to directly go there and it wasn't too much. So that's what we did. Went to church. It was great. Small little Calvary Chapel, 30 or so people, like typical European church, very diverse, like probably 7 nations represented in there and like people really from like Africa and Italy, but old school Maranatha music, just going through the word. It was really sweet. Got to meet everyone because it's a small church and hang out with them until it was over. And then Rob and Joni, his wife, and their daughter, Katie, took us out to lunch. It's a great lunch. Then they're like, hey, can we go out to coffee? We'll take you guys out to coffee. Took us out to coffee. Then they're like, hey, we'll take you sightseeing. We'll take you to Hampton Palace and the gardens. And so they took us sightseeing. And all this time we're hanging out with him, we're getting along, and he's asking me all these questions, like just really wanting to know about like how I got saved and ministry I've done. And at the time it was just kind of seemed weird. I didn't really think anything of it, like other than this guy just wants to know a lot about me. But you know, so we spend the day together. They end up driving us back to Windsor and we parted ways, we exchanged emails, and I remember telling my wife, I'm like, well, you know, at least we have a connection here now, you know, maybe that turns into opportunities to like do mission trips or, you know, serve alongside this guy in some way or something. So we leave it at that. We go on our trip. We went up to York. We were checking out the Calvary Chapel Bible College up there for Samuel. And a couple days later, I get this email from Rob. And it's this long email, just trying to surmise it, but basically explaining how in 2018 he was asked by the pastor at Calvary Chapel Siegemann, which is in Germany, it was kind of the first Calvary Chapel there, a big one, if he would consider coming there and being a part of a ministry that's focused on just discipling, like ministry leaders and such. And after praying about it, he really, really sensed that that was something that resonated with what he wanted to do at this season of his life. And so he had this long list of things that the Lord would have to do for him to be able to leave this church, Calvary Chapel Twickenham, that he'd been pastoring for 20 or so years. And he proceeded to explain that every one of these things has happened that it would allow me to leave except the Lord raising up the right guy to replace me. And he's like, and I believe you're that guy. So that was a shock. That was out of nowhere. It wasn't something I was looking for. But if I'm being honest, it was one of those things where at that very moment, I'm like, there's something different about this. Like, this is an open door. This is like a legit call from the Lord. And I just happened to be in Joshua in my devotionals, Joshua 1, where God is telling Joshua to go into the promised land. And I read this verse in Joshua 1:3 that says, I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on the land that I have given you. And it just was one of those times where the Bible was like, it was like the Lord speaking to me. And I was like, wow, I really like think I told Sarah, like, I think this is from the Lord. And so much so where I contacted the elders immediately. I said, guys, this is crazy. I sent him a copy of the email. I wasn't looking for this, but we need to pray. We need to pray because we can't just rely on feelings. That the Lord needs to confirm this. If I am in fact supposed to leave our family at Coastline, we need to pray that the Lord makes that clear, and he needs to make it clear who my replacement is, because he would never call me out unless he had someone to replace me, and I'm never going to leave them unless I know there's the right guy to leave them with. So before we left the UK, obviously we had a million questions, and so I reached out to Rob and I just said, hey, we're coming back through London before we leave. Can we get together for coffee, just talk about this? And so we talked about it. We did that. We got together, and I felt a lot better leaving that conversation. One of the main questions I had was, like, I'm not just the first guy that's coming along you're offering this to, right? And he was like, no. Like, basically, he's like, there's been 4 other guys that have wanted this over the years, but they weren't the right guys. He's like, there were 3 specific things I was praying for in the guy that would replace me. And the first was that he was a Calvary guy. I want somebody that's going to come in here and just stick with our roots, teach the word, you know, keep the focus on Jesus, focus on Acts 2:42, you know. And he's like, the second thing is I want a guy that was seasoned because that's been through some hard things and has proven faithful, because he said London has a reputation for chewing up and spitting pastors out. And so he's like, I can't just have a novice in here. And just hearing your story of what you've gone through the first transition you went through in COVID, and you were faithful. He's like, I really think that you've proven that you can stick through hard things. And then the third thing he said was, I wanted somebody that's humble. And he's like, I believe I see that in you. And he's like, because that's really what allows the Lord to use anyone. And so I came home, we came home from there, and all we could do was pray. We prayed. I made it a point to get together with Rob at least once a month on Zoom and pray with him. And we continued to pray for a while. If you guys remember, so that was March 2023. In November 2023, or late October, I think it was, Rob was coming back. He's from the Northwest, him and his family. They were coming back to visit family and friends in the Seattle area. And I invited him to come to our church. He actually taught here. If you guys remember, he taught in Psalm 1. And then he invited me to fill in for him in December of 2023, a trip that the Lord miraculously provided for all of our family to go on, and gave us what he had said was, you need to come over to London and not be on vacation. You need to come and just live in our house, you know, learn transportation, learn grocery shopping, everything, and just get a feel for it. See if the Lord uses that to confirm anything. For me, I was specifically praying for a couple things. One thing was, I want the Lord to give me favor in the eyes of the people at that church while I was filling in. And we got to do those things. We got to live in their house, got to learn the bus system, all that stuff. I really felt like the Lord answered that prayer in giving me favor. We really hit it off with the church family. They really were loving towards us and hospitable. When we were leaving, the last Sunday we were there, an older woman in the church came up to Sarah and said, do you think you guys would ever consider moving here so you could become an assistant, so Chris could be an assistant to Rob as pastor? And it was funny because Sarah's like, if she only knew what had been asked. But she's like, yeah, you know, but you need to pray, because the Lord would have to raise someone up at our church and make that clear for him to ever leave. And the other thing the Lord showed me was, I just did what I do here. I just taught the word. I just talked about Jesus. And the Lord used that just like he does here. And it was confirmation to me just that I could just go over there and do the same thing I do here. And God would use it. He'd glorify himself. So we came back encouraged from that trip. But it wasn't till March of 2024, after a full year of praying, that I really felt like I heard the Lord speak to me and say, all right, I want you to go. I want you to start moving forward. I remember Jason Beal, my old pastor, the old founding pastor of this church, was teaching at that conference. The Lord has a way of always speaking to me through him still to this day. And he was teaching from John 5 on the cripple that was healed at the pool of Bethesda. And it was a two-part sermon. The first part, he's teaching this great word, and he's encouraging the guys in the audience, man, if you have something that you want the Lord to heal you from, deliver you from, then stand up, pick up your mat, and walk, like John 5:8. And I remember sitting there thinking, just kind of like, man, this is such an awesome word, but I don't feel like it's for me, like anything specific. I'm just kind of bummed about that. I'm like, maybe I'm just here to pray for the guys around me. So I'm praying for them. And so the second part of the message comes, and it was like God hit me upside the head and said, this message is for you. I want you, regarding the UK, to get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Start moving forward. And I text my wife. I said, I think I just got word from the Lord that we're supposed to move forward in this. And for me, this was like in Joshua 3, where the Lord's telling Joshua, you guys need to go across the Jordan. You need to go forward into the promised land. That's what separated them from the promised land. But the Jordan at the time, if you remember, was flooded. It was filling its banks. So they had to take faith to step into that rapid water. And as soon as the priest with the ark did that, what happened? It parted, right? And so for me, this was my Joshua 3 moment, because as soon as I started moving forward, then all of a sudden it looked like the water started to part regarding this UK thing, or the door started swinging open. And the first thing we felt led to do was finding a mission organization that basically fit our needs. We had had people, like a few people that were disconnected from this church, that were praying with us about this, and they had said, hey, we want to give towards this. We want to give. Do you have somewhere to give, like a mission organization? So we had to find something like that. And I had some specific requirements, because I've been really involved with our missionaries when they've gone out, and there's things I've seen that I like with mission organizations, things I don't agree with or I just see differently. And so I was looking for one that, they wasn't a big focus on finances. I see that become a stumbling block, in that there's this focus on you have to fundraise, you have to ask people for money. And I'm not saying that's wrong for missionaries to do that, but I just don't think you have to ask anyone anything. If the Lord is sending you somewhere, he knows what you need. Mm-hmm. He's going to provide your needs. And I think it's way cooler to see the Lord put on people's hearts to give towards ministry than to ask them or to tell them. Because again, I don't want to feel like I'm manipulating it. Actually, if any of you guys know who George Mueller is, he was somebody that really inspired me early in my walk of faith. I forgot, like, basically, I had it on my phone. I didn't bring my phone. I wanted to read it. But basically, he never asked for a dime. He felt the same way, that, man, if the Lord's in all these orphanages I'm starting and all, like, as a pastor, like, he's like, I'm not going to ask for anything. I'm not going to ask for a salary. And the Lord just miraculously gave, like, what would amount to millions and millions of dollars in today's currency. Without him ever asking, the Lord just prompted people's hearts. He believed they would, and he did. So for me, I'm like, if I ever get called in the mission field, I want to be like that guy. I want to do that. And so I saw that as an opportunity. So I didn't want a mission agency that was going to try to define my budget, try to tell me, you know, like what I needed to do, the fundraise. I just wanted to just trust God in that aspect of it. Another thing was, a lot of them charge a reasonable percentage, but I just think it's unnecessary for missionary care, because I'm going into an existing church with a leadership, with a network of Calvary Chapels. And so I have people to surround myself with to encourage one another and to hold accountable. So I didn't need like the missionary care that some of those organizations provided in the extra charge they charge for that. Those were my requirements. And so we found a couple different mission organizations. We prayed about it. We had interviews with them, tried to figure out what they were about and everything. And we really felt led, this one called Mission Enablers met our criteria. So we applied for them. And then in April, that was completed. And so we were on board with the mission organization. All right. So this is April 2024. The next step we felt led to do was basically talk to the same immigration lawyer that Sarah had got her citizenship with. So we reach out to him, set up an appointment. At the same time, I'm like, man, I'm really feeling led to fast and pray the first week of May. We need some clear direction on how we proceed. We didn't feel confident enough to tell the church, because I didn't want to tell you guys. I would have loved to involve you guys from the very beginning to pray with us, but if it wasn't going to happen, if this wasn't the Lord, I didn't want to cause unnecessary unrest. I had to know it was the Lord. So we're praying in May. That appointment with that immigration lawyer gets moved a couple times. The fall in that same week, we're praying and fasting. So we have that appointment on Monday of that first week of May. We're praying and fasting. Great appointment. Learn everything we need to learn about immigrating there. That's basically what we're going to do, because of her citizenship. I can go as a spousal visa. The boys can go with children, family visas. After 5 years, I can get my full citizenship. After 2.5 years, the majority of the boys, other than Benny, can get their full citizenship. He can get the same as me. But like here, they have an immigration problem. And the way they deal with it is they make it really expensive to immigrate. So part of immigrating was going to be having to have $112,000 in a bank account for 6 months prior to applying for visas. And then the other, there were going to be $28,000 in visa fees. So that wasn't a deal breaker, but it was like, all right, here's the first mountain. We don't have this, you know, so we'll give this to God, you know. And I remember Sarah saying, like, and I agreed with her. She's like, I don't feel right about asking people to pay like $112,000. It doesn't even need to be spent. It just needs to be sitting in an account. Like, it's your emergency fund. They don't want you to drain their system. And I'm like, I agree with that, you know. And so I'm like, well, we'll just pray. And she had some ideas like, hey.
Well, yeah, you know how you're like, well, I know this relative has some money, so maybe we could ask them if we could borrow that money for a little while, and then when we sell our house, we could, you know, give the money back. Then, like, instantly when that thought came in my mind, I was like, no, that's Sarah doing this. And if God is in this, he is going to produce $112,000 for us. I can trust him with that. And so.
So the next morning, as she's praying, she gets the idea of, like, well, what about retirement? Would retirement count towards that? And it's funny because, like, I'm like, well, I don't know. You should ask the immigration attorney. And so
I contacted, his name is Jamal. I emailed him and I just said, hey, you know, we have retirement accounts, but we couldn't tell you what was in them. And so I said, would that count as a savings account? And he said, yes, as long as it's liquid. So you have to be able to pull the money out of the account.
So I don't even know what I know I have retirement. I worked for ODOT for 15 years before I came on full-time here. And I have PERS, but apparently I didn't give them a forwarding address when I left. So I haven't been getting PERS statements. I have no idea. I knew my retirement wasn't anywhere near there when I left, but I'm like, I don't even know what it is. So I spend the day trying to figure out how to get the PERS system online. I get in there and I'm like, oh, there's $142,000 in there. I'm like, well, that's cool. I'm like, just enough, you know? And so then I'm like, well, is it liquid? Because PERS is like Social Security. You're not supposed to take it out until you retire and then you get like a monthly payment. So I'm like, I don't know. And I'm like, so I get on the phone with a PERS representative and they're looking at my employment history and they're like, oh, yeah, so you were hired in 2004. Well, right before you were hired in 2003, there was this change in the law and legislation that basically allows PERS recipients to take a one-time fee, or one time you can pull out a lump sum money if you want to forego your PERS rights when you retire. So basically, if I had been hired any earlier, I wouldn't have that option. But because I was hired right after that, I could take it out. It was liquid. And it was at that moment where I just looked at Sarah and I'm like, whoa, the Lord's really doing this. Because he just took this mountain and leveled it in a day. And what I see is that the Lord was actually, in fact, working this all out long before I knew I was going to be a pastor or anything. His hands were in this way before. And I instantly thought of Zechariah 4:6-7, where Zerubbabel's facing this great task of rebuilding the temple, and he's kind of intimidated by it. And Zerubbabel has this dream where this angel tells him, then he said to me, this is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It's not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Nothing, not even a mighty mountain, will stand in Zerubbabel's way. It will become a level plain before him. And when Zerubbabel sets the final stone of the temple in place, the people will shout, may God bless it, may God bless it, or grace, grace to it. And it just became really real, like, whoa, the Lord is in this. He's been in this. He's already moving the first mountain we had. So, also in May, part of our mission organization's requirements is that we send out a quarterly newsletter. So we didn't have many people to send that to, but we had to send it to them. So I make a quarterly newsletter. I send it out just kind of explaining some of these things that I'm telling you today. One of the people that went to was a pastor in another Calvary Chapel, big Calvary Chapel, that's just been there for me since I took over in transition. We had kind of a divine appointment, and he just has always shown time, been there to encourage me. And so he texts me while we're down for Samuel's graduation down in California. And he's like, Chris, I read the newsletter. I'm so excited at what the Lord's doing in your life. We're going to send you $5,000 towards your UK visa requirements. And like, even in that, I'm just like, oh my gosh. I mean, I instantly remember something I've always told our missionaries, because finances can be a bit of discouraging when you're waiting on the Lord to come through with them. But I always try to remind him, hey, has the Lord started giving them to you? Does he ever not finish what he starts? So like once he starts, he's going to finish in his timing. You just got to trust him and wait upon him. And so I remember telling Sarah, I'm like, the Lord started. Mm-hmm. He's giving. Like, this is really happening now.
Yeah, but for me personally, that was the moment that I sensed that this was a go, that this was the Lord. I mean, the 112,000, that was pretty cool. But I was like, well, that's technically like our money that's in savings, like retirement, whatever, no big deal. But when somebody else donated money like they did, I was like, what do we issue it back to them, you know? So I just was like, I think this is happening. And Chris said, he encouraged me, he was like, the Lord, you know, he's going to be faithful to finish what he started, and it's starting now.
So while we're down there at the graduation, you want to talk about the holidays, meeting them? Yeah.
Yeah, so that was the first week of our vacation, we had that donation. And then the second week, we went down to San Diego because Samuel was graduating from Calvary Prep, and that's where they had his graduation. And that morning of his graduation, they had a brunch with the faculty and the students. And so we dropped him off, and then Chris and I went and did some errands, and then we came back, and we were out in the car, and I text Samuel just to let him know, hey, we're here, we're in the car. And he responds, you are not going to believe who I just met. And I'm totally confused. And so he's like, come in here. So Chris and I get out of the car, and we go inside, and there was this man he was talking to, and he didn't look familiar. And come find out, when Samuel arrived at his breakfast, he was talking to the director of the school. And the director was asking him, hey, when you know, now that you're graduated, what are you going to do? And he goes, oh, I'm going to move to England, and I'm going to go to Bible school at Cape and Ray. And he said, oh, you need to go meet Mrs. Holiday. Her and her husband did a church plant over in London. And if you know my Samuel, he's not going to go talk to her. So he's like, oh, okay, great. And then he goes walking past Mrs. Holiday. And as he's walking past Mrs. Holiday, he overhears her say, Katie Dingman, which is the daughter to the pastor at Calvary Chapel Twickenham, the church which Chris has been offered to take over as the lead pastor. And so he goes, I heard their name, and he goes, I knew I needed to stop and talk. So he went ahead and started talking to him, and they were saying that they were church planters and everything, and he goes, yeah, well, my parents are praying about moving over there. And the husband said, are you the Suits? We're in San Diego. Like, nobody knows us, you know? And he's like, are you the Suits? And Samuel said, yes. And he said, well, he goes, I've been praying for you guys by name. Just a divine
appointment. They were super encouraging. They'd been there for 10 years, and they were just very encouraging. They're like, you guys have a family. You have an in with the people. Like, they were just like, you guys are going to do great, and, like, we'll help you, and we'll tie you, like, hook you up with other people we know over there. And so it was very encouraging, divine appointment. So we get back from that vacation. There's a couple pastors in the community I pray with regularly. And it was just me and this other pastor that have gotten pretty close. And I was just asking him. I felt led to share with him what the Lord was doing. I'm like, hey, can you pray? Because I really think the Lord is like making this clear. And I'm getting to the point where I have to share it with my church family. And he was so moved by it. He's like, hey, when you make it public, would you come and share with our church family? Because I think we'd love to support you guys. And this is a completely different denomination. And like, it just was like evidence again that God was like in this. I wasn't having to manipulate any of that. Then a couple weeks later, we had some dear friends like one morning and find out that they've started supporting us month to month. And then another person let me know yesterday. Again, just God doing all of this, you know, without 100% faithful. And that's how I feel. I don't want it to ever be about me or anything I'm doing. I want it all to be him so he gets all the glory. And when it came to that point over the last couple months where that just became clear, like, God is doing this, God is in this, then it was like, all right, we need to tell the church because we want you guys to be along with us on this ride as God's doing this. And something should be said is, so we haven't, as elders, we haven't confidently come to the place yet where we're ready to like say, all right, this is the next guy that's going to replace you. We have leading, but the reality is we're blessed as a church. We have a lot of good candidates in our leadership to be the pastor of this church. But what we want more than anything is the God candidate, okay? Because God has a person in mind. And when we absolutely are confident, when he is absolutely confident, then we'll tell you guys. That's when really the official starting, whatever the transitioning out can look like, and him transitioning in as the Lord removes me and raises him up. There's no timetable on that. So we're going to let the Lord lead us through that. All that to say is things aren't going to drastically change, like right away. They're just going to go on as normal. I'm going to be around. I'm going to be around here until that next guy is ready for me to leave, basically, and he feels comfortable. And Rob's been really supportive of that as far as, like, he's not putting any timetable, not trying to rush me in any ways. But I say that just to know that, like, I want to go through this with you guys. I don't want to just say, see you later, I'm out of here. I want to be here to answer questions. I want to be here to remind you guys God's going to be good. You're going to be able to look back at this, and you're going to be able to say, look at what God did. Just like in everything in our life, even the stuff we don't understand. Just to make sure, too, so you guys know, the call itself is to go to London. It's to eventually take over for Rob as lead pastor of Calvary Chapel Twickenham. It's one of five Calvary Chapel churches in the London area, London being a city of 8.8 million people, where the name of Jesus is known, as shown by all of the beautiful cathedrals and churches there, but the majority of the people do not know him personally, as shown by how empty all of those churches and cathedrals are. And one of the exciting things is that over the last couple of years, Calvary Chapel Twickenham has actually got its first building. They just were in a house for many years. And then this cool ministry that buys old church buildings so they don't get turned into something else, and then leases them to churches that can't afford it, gave them a building. And it's right in the middle of a residential neighborhood full of families, which that just resonates with me because we're at that season of life. We can do life with those people, and we can minister to them with the hopes of getting to share Jesus. We're going to sell everything and go there and hopefully start a life. I really feel the Lord told me, I was reading through 1 Kings, the story of Elijah, when Elijah called him, and it says, so Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field, and there were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elijah was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. The idea of that was he was calling him. He was anointing him. He was saying, follow me. Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah and said to him, first let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you. Elijah replied, go on back, but think about what I have done to you. So Elijah returned to his oxen and slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire in to roast the flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate, and then he went with Elijah's assistant. Basically, what that was in picturing, or what was happening there, was he was leaving everything behind and just leaving so there was nothing to come back to. Like, basically, he was saying his goodbyes, and then he was going. And I really sense that's the Lord that said, that's what I want you to do. I want you to have some time to, you know, mourn with your church family, rejoice with them, say your goodbyes, and then I want you just to go and plan on going and taking everything with you, you know, leaving nothing behind. So that's what we're going to do. The church there, it pays a small salary to, it can afford to pay a small salary to Rob. He's supported as a missionary the rest of the way. So that's what I'm praying the Lord will do for us. But the cool thing is our visa also allows me to work if needed. So I don't want to box God in. If God wants to call me back to a season of working and doing ministry on the side, I'll do that. Whatever God wants, I just want to be open to. Again, it's his story, it's not mine. And I really feel like this call is much like for Philip in Acts 8. If you guys are familiar with that, Philip's in this thriving ministry, just fruitful in Samaria. And then God calls him to the most obscure places. He basically says, I want you to leave this and I want you to go to the desert because there was somebody there that needed to hear, to learn about Jesus. Basically, it was somebody that, well, I'm going to read it. Let me just read it. It says, As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the... my eyesight's going really bad here. Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. And the eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning seated in the carriage, and he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside this carriage. And Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asked, do you understand what you are reading? And the man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up under the carriage and sit with him. And the passage of scripture he had been reading was this: he was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. And as they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? And he ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. I really sense, like, here I am in this ministry, like this family I love so much, thriving. But the Lord's like, I've got people to save in this city. They know of the name of Jesus, just like that eunuch, but they need someone to explain to them the good news of Jesus so they can know him. And he's like, I'm asking you to go and do that. And I can't say no to that. He's more than made it clear. And I have to listen and obey. And it's not at all because I would want to leave you guys. Because I wouldn't if I had a choice. But he's my Lord. And he's my Savior. And I got to go where he's telling me to. Knowing that, as I already said, it's with your best intentions in mind. And it's with our best intentions in mind. So I'm just going to invite you to pray with us as a family, for our family and what the Lord has for us, for this church as your family, for what the Lord has in this next season where he's transitioning us into his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So often I point out in Romans 12 too, because that's what's coming. And I will be here as long as I'm here to remind us over and over again that God is going to be good in this. We need to remind ourselves of that over and over again. Even when we question it, even when we don't see it, he's going to be good because he is good, and he's not capable of doing anything that isn't good, and we can trust him in this process and follow him through it together. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to have Beth come back up here. I asked specifically for her to sing a song, because it really just reflects on the fact that Jesus is always going to be there. He always remains. It's one of the reasons why we'd be crazy not to follow him, because he's the one consistent thing in our life. And another thing Mueller said that I thought was great was people questioned when he died what would happen of all his ministry, of all the orphanages and the orphans he took care of his church. And he said something along the lines of, well, it's at that time people are going to see it was never me. It was just God, because the work always goes on. And so because Jesus will remain here with you guys, even when I'm long gone, even when our family's gone, the work's going to keep going on. Just like it did when Pastor Jason left, just like it will. He's always going to be here. He's the center of everything going on anyways. And it'll continue to be good. And I'll tell you right now, when I reach the ceiling of what the Lord has to do through me here, that's going to be the floor of the next guy. Because the Lord is just going to keep building on it through him. Amen? Amen. Well, let's worship the Lord, because that's what we do. Especially when there's things of difficulty. Father, every time we've sought you, you've heard. And you have answered, or you're going to answer, Lord. Even if we're still waiting, we know the answer is coming. And just as we were singing, Lord, that's because that's why our faith is in you. Our trust is in you. Where else are we going to go? Nobody knows everything like you do. Nobody is capable of doing anything like you are. And nobody loves us more than you do. And so we go to you in all things in our life. We want to seek you. We want to wait upon you. We want to wait for that answer. Because we know if it's coming from you, it's good and perfect. And so this is just one of the many other instances in our life where we're going to do that. As you have a plan, it's already figured out. You have all the steps already in place. You've gone before us. You knew this was going to come, a point where you were calling me and my family somewhere else, and you were raising up another person, maybe people, Lord. Because whenever I've seen the Lord call people to step out, it's usually an opportunity where he's calling other people to step up. So this isn't just about me and my family or the next pastor here, Lord, but this is a shaking up, a tilling of the soil, a shaking of the water to bring like life to it. Because you're the one behind it, we can know it's for our good. And so, Lord, just guide us through this next season, Lord, where you continue to build your church the way you want. And we trust you through all of it, Lord. And we praise you now ahead of time, knowing that we're going to see your goodness and how you answer those prayers. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.